hear what it says in the paper. This is John S. Doyle.
Photographs of France's President Macron and the US President Trump grinning and gripping hands at their meeting in the White House yesterday make the front pages of the Irish Times, Irish Independent and Irish Examiner. The Examiner's report is by David Smith of The Guardian, who says that Trump and Macron talked up the possibility of lasting peace in Ukraine as they moved to ease the rift between Europe and the United States. Mr. Macron, he writes, insisted that Europe would shoulder more defence responsibility in the region, but that peace must not mean the surrender of Ukraine. Mr. Trump, for his part, said that the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, had told him he would accept European peacekeepers in Ukraine as part of a potential deal to end the three-year war. The Times reports that Ukraine marked the anniversary yesterday by urging the West to unite. The country heard pledges of solidarity from European leaders amid tension with Washington and Kremlin praise for Donald Trump. In an extraordinary development, the Times says, the US sided with Russia at the United Nations General Assembly in opposing a resolution by Ukraine and other European states, which was passed, urging support for Kyiv. For the first time since the Second World War, the Independent says in an editorial, Europe must consider how it can stand on its own without the military, economic and political heft of the US at its back. One avenue to explore is suggested by Fintan O'Toole in a column in The Times. O'Toole says the Trump-Musk war on science is an opportunity for Ireland. Instead of wringing our hands about the danger to our pharmaceutical exports from Trump's threatened tariffs, we should be doing something truly bold, stealing American scientists. The Irish Daily Mirror and Irish Daily Star report on a video made by five-year-old Aaron Hussein, who was killed in a road accident on Saturday in Portlaoise, for his father, Torquir, who was in hospital. The Irish Daily Mail reports that planning permissions for apartment buildings have fallen by 33%. The drop has caused alarm in government, Craig Hughes writes, as applications are viewed as a barometer of the level of foreign investment in the property market. The Independent leads with a report of accusations made by the Prison Officers Association. The association says that the government is running a revolving door policy in the country's crowded jails as the number of inmates being released early due to a shortage of space more than doubled in the last 2 years. It has described the figures as truly shocking. More accusations against the government in the Irish Sun's lead story. The paper reports that Rebecca Meehan has described how her local special school in Waterford held a draw for just 8 spaces. It meant that her son Jay, who is 5, is now one of 20 children left without a place in September. It is like playing the Euro Millions with his education, she said.
John, thank you. It's 11 minutes past 7. The question still to be answered following the Trump-Macron meeting. We'll be talking about that after the break.
What if you could have the best of all worlds? The freedom to explore without hesitation. The all-new Cupra Terramar, our next-generation plug-in hybrid SUV. Bold design to stop others in their tracks. Engineered with precision to take you further. And with an all-electric range of up to 119 kilometres, you can experience adventure without compromise. Discover more at cupraofficial.ie or search Cupra Terramar. Electric range based on WLTP data. Real-world driving conditions can affect range.
White's important Irish art auction is on view this week. See exceptional works by Paul Henry, Mary Swansea, William Leach, Nano Reid, Colin Middleton, Rowan Gillespie and many others. On view this week at 38 Molesworth Street and online at whites.ie. White's, where Irish art is truly valued.
You're welcome back to Morning Ireland. Can the war in Ukraine, inflicted by Russia, be brought to an end in a matter of weeks? Will European leaders be involved in talks on a final peace agreement? Will Ukraine? Will peacekeeping troops from NATO countries have boots on the ground in Ukraine once an agreement is reached? Will the Russian president accept that? Is NATO membership for Ukraine definitively off the table? So many questions, and they remain largely unanswered following the first meeting between US President Donald Trump and a major European leader, Emmanuel Macron of France, at the White House. The two men appeared very friendly towards each other. The body language, the manly handshakes, the French leader praising, flattering, cajoling the American one, referring to him at least twice as Dear Donald. All this after weeks of the harshest of language being used against Europe by many in the Trump administration, including its vice president, directly to their faces at the Munich Security Conference recently. Language which directly implied that the US could no longer be counted on to come to Europe's defence in a time of war. Presidents Trump and Macron sat knee to knee in the Oval Office on one occasion last night while talking to reporters. The only real point of conflict emerged when President Trump spoke about how much money the United States had given to Ukraine compared to Europe.
Europe is loaning the money to Ukraine. They get their money back.
No, in fact, to be frank, we paid. We paid 60% of the total effort. And it was through, like the US, loans, guarantee, grants, and we provided real money, to be clear. We have 230 billion frozen assets in Europe, Russian assets, but this is not as a collateral of a loan because this is not our belonging. So they are frozen. If at the end of the day in the negotiation we will have with Russia, they're ready to give it to us, super. It will be loan at the end of the day and Russia will have paid for that.
If you believe that, it's okay with me.
Mr. President,
they get their money back, we don't, and now we do.
Both President Trump and President Macron said the war in Ukraine could be over within weeks. The US leader said he would meet the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky soon, and that he would also meet the Russian leader, with a suggestion that he might even travel to Moscow. President Zelensky wants security guarantees from the United States and Europe. He wants to know that if and when the war ends, that Russia will not invade again at some point in the future. That is why he wants NATO membership for his country. It's why he also wants outside peacekeepers. This dominated President Macron's comments at a news conference in the White House last night. Heard here through an interpreter, he said he and President Trump had reached a turning point on this issue.
We were able to talk about the details of the security guarantees, and the president has shown this over the past few days, and he said so a moment ago, we want peace. He wants peace. We want peace swiftly, but we don't want an agreement that is weak. The fact that there are Europeans that are ready to engage to provide for these security guarantees. And now there's a clear American message that the U.S., as an ally, is ready to provide that solidarity for that approach. That's a turning point, in my view.
While reporters asked President Trump if he had raised the prospect of peacekeepers from NATO countries being on Ukrainian soil with the Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, he will accept that. I've asked him that question.
You talked to him?
I've asked him that question.
Is he
going
to lift the block on the...
Because he's not... Look, if we do this deal, he's not looking for more war. He doesn't mind. But I've specifically asked him that question. He has no problem with it.
Well, let's discuss this now with Vitaly Shevchenko, Russia editor at BBC Monitoring and co-presenter of the BBC's Ukraine Cast podcast. Vitaly, you're very welcome indeed to Morning Ireland. Could you just pick up on that last point there that Trump says Putin told him he has no problem with EU peacekeepers in Ukraine, yet the Russian foreign minister last week in Riyadh said they could not support such a move?
Well, all these statements that have been coming out of Washington and Russia, and also what President Zelensky of Ukraine has been saying, they paint a rather confusing picture. What it boils down to, really, is that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin are really determined to deal with this with each other and sort this problem out by talking to each other. And that's the reason why Emmanuel Macron was in Washington yesterday. That's why Keir Starmer of the UK is traveling to the US on Thursday, because they're feeling sidelined. And frankly, I believe it when it happens, if or when America and Russia sign any agreements. That's when I believe it, because what they've been saying is rather conflicting. First, we heard from America's defense secretary that Ukraine will not be able to reclaim any territory captured by Russia, that Ukraine should forget about joining NATO. Then various American officials seem to row back from those statements and are now seeming to say that nothing is off the table. When it comes to this whole idea of peacekeepers, again, it's not clear who they can be, what they will be able to do, because, as you say, Russia said that, well, it will not accept the deployment of troops from any NATO country to Ukraine, mm-hmm. even if they're deployed by these individual countries, not NATO as an alliance. And also, importantly, when Emmanuel Macron was speaking about what these troops might potentially be doing in Ukraine, he said they shouldn't go to the front line or go into confrontation. That's a quote. And I'm sure in Volodymyr Zelensky's mind, this is raising the question, okay, so if they're not going to be there to fight, what will they be doing there?
What is the point? Let's bring in David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief with the Guardian newspaper. David, thanks for joining us. You're in Washington, so it's in the early hours, very early hours of the morning there for you, so we're grateful to you. What's your assessment, just picking up on that, of this turning point that Macron talks about on security guarantees for Ukraine if and when the war ends? And notably, Trump did not endorse much of what Macron was saying publicly to the media.
No, that's right. I mean, I was at that joint press conference and didn't really feel there was ultimately much substance coming out of it. I think a phrase like turning point is useful for Macron to flatter Trump and his ego and suggest that, you know, new American leadership is helpful here. But it wasn't entirely clear how this deal is going to be achieved. There was very little discussion on, you know, well, what concessions would Ukraine have to make and Russia have to make, and certainly Trump has generally said very little on the latter point about Russia. There was this discussion certainly about European peacekeepers, and Trump said that Putin has said he's fine with that, but still not entirely clear how we get there. Overall, I thought Macron did a good job diplomatically in a very awkward, difficult situation. You know, he had to walk that tightrope of flattering his host and being the gracious guest while also standing up to him at moments. And we did see that the way Macron talked about Ukraine must not be surrendered. And at one point, he even intervened and corrected Trump on the issue of the money that Europe's put in, which Trump claimed was purely a loan that it will get back. And Macron pointed out that's not the case. So, you know, diplomatically, it was all very successful and cordial. But still, I think that the big questions here remain unresolved.
Well, indeed. And even the point of the Europeans being excluded from any talks on the peace agreement with Ukraine and Russia, there's still no sign that they're going to have any active involvement, is there?
No, certainly not. Obviously, there was that strange situation the other day in Saudi Arabia, where it was the US and Russia discussing Ukraine's fate without Ukraine in the room and without the European Union in the room. I think Macron and soon Keir Starmer will be pleased that at least they get their foot in the door of the White House, can make their representations to Trump and, you know, plead with him, don't give the farm away, don't just sort of surrender everything to Russia. But ultimately, a week from now, what will that matter? You can imagine perhaps there'll be further talks with Russia, and the European case will be somewhat marginalised, and you know, as we saw in the vote at the UN, this is a very different America, which is, you know, astonishingly appearing to side with Russia over democracies.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that UN vote in just a moment. Vitaly, Vladimir Putin, who Donald Trump refused to call a dictator in the news conference, even though he had no difficulty calling President Zelensky a dictator last week. But he, Vladimir Putin, was speaking at the same time as this news conference last night. What did he say?
Well, when it comes to Vladimir Putin, the first thing I'd like to say is that, well, he doesn't always speak his mind. He's a former KGB agent, and speaking their minds is not something that they're famous for. So I think Vladimir Putin is basically embarking on a charm offensive directed at Donald Trump. We've heard this word several times during this conversation, flattering Donald Trump. So Vladimir Putin, I think what he said yesterday, he was talking to a state TV reporter, is basically trying to create a parallel reality where he and Donald Trump are acting in Ukraine's best interest and Zelensky is not. So basically, Vladimir Putin's message to Donald Trump is that, Donald, you and I are right and everybody else is wrong. He said that Russia's also got rare earth minerals and America and Russia could mine them together. And importantly, and I felt interestingly, Vladimir Putin said that they can do it in annexed parts of Ukraine as well, not a problem. So Vladimir Putin, I think he's trying to sort of implicate Donald Trump in his annexation of parts of Ukraine. And he said, well, look, we would like Zelensky to stay because he's so bad for Ukraine, but Donald understands how bad Zelensky is for Ukraine. That's why he's trying to replace him with a better leader. So this is a whole new parallel universe with which, well, Ukrainians, I'm sure, will not agree because what I've seen from opinion polls, they are okay with Zelensky being there. They don't want elections to be held right now.
David, on that UN General Assembly voting yesterday, the US sided with Russia twice, opposing a European-drafted resolution condemning the invasion and the war and supporting Ukraine's territorial integrity. The US sided with Russia on that. And then also when it came to their own resolution calling for an end to the conflict, but no criticism of Russia. What's the significance of all of that? And why is that being done at this point?
I think it's hugely significant after decades of, the Cold War and afterwards, the Republican Party in particular shaped its whole identity around resisting the Soviet Union and communism and, Ronald Reagan saying, tear down this wall and so on. And Donald Trump has turned that on its head over the past decade, and the party that was strongly against Russia is now extraordinarily embracing Russia and its authoritarian president and siding with them over Europe. I mean, just incredible. We've seen it in those recent Trump remarks. We got a bit more of a flavor of it with Vice President J.D. Vance's speech at the Munich Security Conference. So the big picture is, I think, that the 80-year transatlantic alliance is potentially unraveling. It's never been in greater jeopardy, and that has certainly caused consternation in European capitals and questions over Europe having to beef up its own militaries and realize it can no longer look to the US as a security guarantor. This very mysterious relationship between Trump and Putin, which has gone on for years, Trump's constant unwillingness to criticize Russia. One can speculate endlessly why that is. Is it just an admiration for strong men? Is it something to do with business? Is there something deeper going on? But okay. It's got huge implications for the rest of the world.
Thank you both very much. David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief with The Guardian, and Vitaly Shevchenko, Russia Editor at BBC Monitoring and co-presenter of the Ukraine Cast podcast with the BBC.